That song that we just sang is one that's been precious to me for quite some time. I remember as a young man, as the Lord had begun to give me a love for the things of God and to have a delight in the gospel. And as I was hungry for the truth of God. And on Sunday nights, there was a radio broadcast that came on out of Cincinnati, Ohio. And you could barely pick it up. It was back in the days of FM, of AM radio. It was an AM station, but it was what's called a clear channel station. And you could pick it up late at night. And somehow or other, as men would say, I happened upon that station. Of course, we know there was no happen to it, but the mercy of God. And he often fed my soul with the things that I heard on that radio broadcast. And that particular song right there was one that they would occasionally sing on that broadcast. And I don't know why, but it has always been very precious to me. But methinks a greater chorus makes the heavenly arches ring. And it is a glorious message, dear brethren, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Know how today that message has been so tarnished and been so made such a weak, and the Savior's been presented as one who has no power. But I tell you, Christ, he has power to save, and he will save. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. The Lord gives to his people eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of his hand. What a glorious thing that is. I don't know any way that you can preach the gospel apart from declaring a sovereign Savior. I mean, I just don't understand how it can be. Because, dear brethren, Christ has not tried to do something and failed, but he has undertook the redemption of his elect bride, and he has accomplished that. And not a one of them shall perish. And he has privileged us to hear. Peter stood on the day of Pentecost. He said, the promise is unto you and to as many as the Lord our God shall call. The Lord does call his people. He does. You know, and there's not a thing in the world that anybody can do to stop that. And there's not anything that really a man can do to help that along the way. But he's given us the privilege. He's given us the privilege to declare the unsearchable riches of Christ in the hearing of men. I can't think of a grander privilege or a blessing that could come upon a man than to declare Christ as the Savior. He is the Savior. He's the Savior of sinners. He doesn't save the righteous. He doesn't save men that can bring something to him, that can cooperate with him or in some fashion or other do something. See, we live in a day and age when folks trying to get folks to do something. Do something for the Lord. Well, I'm telling you this, that you can't do a thing for the Lord. But in his mercy, he may do something for you. And he'll cause you by that same grace to desire to exalt and honor his name and to go forth into the world and do such things as he calls you to do. He hasn't called everybody to go forth. I mean, he hadn't called me to go to Africa. How'd I know that? Because I'm not in Africa. You know, I'm right here. And you know, sometimes people get all worked up about going here and going there. Well, you're where you are. And that's where the Lord would have you to be. And that's, you know, he'll lay, hey, Jonah, you know, the Lord said for Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah wasn't going to Nineveh. That last place on earth he was going, wasn't it? I mean, he even bought a ticket going the other way. He said, man, I ain't going to Nineveh. Well, guess what? He went to Nineveh. And oh, what a glorious God we have who's able to send men where he would have them to be. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? What a glorious thing it is, brethren. What a privilege. And there's nothing that accrues to the preacher. You see, we live in a day of the famous preacher, do we not? I mean, you know, we got them on every channel of the radio and TV wanting you to remember their name, so when you write the check, you'll make it out to the right one, you know. But the gospel's not about all those things, dear brethren. And I'm not saying that none of them ever speak any truth. I mean, I've heard some of them say some things that I thought was pretty good. But I've heard them turn right around and basically make everything they said before that to be a lie. So, I mean, I don't get it. I mean, you know, but it's not up to me. And I'm not up here today to bash what's going on, but just to desire with all my heart to exalt and honor Christ. And it does pain me. You don't know how much when I hear men attempting to what they call preach the gospel, and they preach everything but Christ. You know, that pains my heart. And when they would present Christ as one who hopes to do something, he shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. He is a triumphant Savior, a glorious King. We're not waiting for the day when he is going to become a king. He is the King. And he reigns and he rules in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and there's none that can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Now, we are in Psalm 131, and this is a short psalm. Probably good since I rambled on and took up a bunch of time, but this is Psalm 131, another of the songs of degrees of David. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Now we know that David wrote these words. Surely he did. And surely these words are applicable to the mind that the Lord had given him. But we also believe that these are the words and prayers of Christ. Now, if anybody, as a man walking in the earth, had reason to be haughty, it would have been Christ, would it not? I mean, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He is God. I mean, he said so to Philip. Philip said, show us the Father. He said, Philip. He says, have I been so long time with you and thou hast not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And so a glorious Lord who took upon himself human flesh, I can't even begin to imagine it, let alone to set it forth properly. All we can do is go into the scripture and read it and see that it's so. And the scripture tells us that he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, I don't know how him who knows all things could learn anything. And I know the meaning of the word learn doesn't necessarily mean learn in the sense like we learn our ABCs or something like that. But he experienced it. He went through it. He made the worlds, yet he was not of the world. He made the water, yet he thirsted. You know, he made the men that made the whips that lashed his back. He did all these things. None of that stuff happened by chance, but according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And he, walking among men, knowing more than all of the men who he came in contact with, yet as a young man, he was obedient to his parents. You know, that song that's often sung about this time, away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus lays down his sweet head. And there's a line in there that says, no crying he makes. Now, I don't know that that was necessarily true, because crying in itself is not a sinful thing. It's a manner of communication that only a baby, communication a baby has. So I don't know. But I believe this. I believe that he praised his father even in the womb. Because if John the Baptist leapt in his mother's womb, it coming into the presence of him, we know that there was there's some knowledge, there's something that moved him to do that. The Spirit of God moved upon him. And I believe the Spirit of God was upon him without measure from the beginning. But yet he came forth from that virgin's womb as a man. I mean, he grew into to a man. He came forth and took upon himself human flesh, and he underwent all the things that children suffer. He suffered as a child. He undertook the redemption of his people. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. And he says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Now, it would be impossible for him to exercise his mind in things too high for me, but with the spirit of humility, he speaks as one who desires not to be lifted up with pride. How removed and foreign is that to the natural man? You know, by nature, men like to let you know what they know, don't they? I mean, we all do. I mean, you know, we want to be an expert in something. And some people won't be expert in everything. But I learned a long time ago, you can't be, even though you might want to be. But Paul said that we know nothing as we ought to know. The Lord Jesus Christ, as a man, walking in this world as a man in the behalf of sinners, he had a complete and perfect understanding of that very thing. Why would we ever be lifted up? What do you know? I mean, you know, a lot of times we get to pontificating and saying, well, we know this, we know that. What do you really know? I mean, you don't know anything that the Lord hadn't taught you. There's never a thought came into your mind that the Lord did not guide, You know, people say, well, you know, he's so smart, he thought up the how to do this, or he thought up how to do that. Well, how did he do that? He did it because God directed his thoughts in that. Elon Musk, now this is a guy who seems to be a brilliant fellow as far as the world goes, and he's got all these ideas and knows how to get all this stuff done. How did he get like that? I mean, he just decided one day, well, you know, I think I'm going to do that. No, the Lord gave him the abilities that he gave. And I don't know whether Elon Musk gives God any glory for it or not. I never heard him do so. But it doesn't make a difference whether he does or he doesn't. God will have glory from all these things. But the Lord Jesus Christ would set for us the example. And He says, or in things too high for me, nothing would be too high for him. Plenty of stuff too high for us. You know, there are many subjects that have often divided among the saints of God that really and truly, when it all boils down to it, what does anybody know about that? You know, I think about the subject called the Trinity. Now, the word Trinity is not in the Scripture. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is in the Scripture. And we see the Father, we see the Son, we see the Holy Spirit. I mean, they're all three one, but our God is one God. Now, why do we need, what could we accomplish by spending years trying to get down to the nitty-gritty of that and explain to somebody? I've read books. I've read a lot of books about that subject. And I always come away, when I get through, you're right back to the same place. What do you really know about that? You can't know that. Our God, He inhabiteth eternity. How is it that finite men could ever grasp that which the angels cover their eyes before His throne, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He dwells in the light to which no man can approach. And how is it that men think they can explain Him? Well, we're going to teach in three simple lessons. You know, how the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, how this is. And men have been put to death over these subjects. You know, there's been plenty of stuff that men have put other men to death over in the name of the Lord. And said, you know, you're a heretic. We're going to kill you. These things are too high. And that's not just that. God is too high for us. You see, we have to put our hand upon our mouth. See, that's what happened to Job, was it not? Job was a pretty smart guy. The Lord had blessed him. I mean, he was righteous before the Lord. And he told his, he had a lot of wisdom that he gave to his physicians of no value and miserable comforters that came to straighten him out. But when all was said and done, and Job had said everything that he knew, and I can just, you know, I can imagine, because I'm kind of about the same way, he was just pretty proud of himself. You know, I've straightened these guys out. But all of a sudden, the Scripture says that the Lord appeared in a whirlwind. Now, when the Lord appears in a whirlwind, He'll get your attention. And so he said, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And so ultimately, you see, he brought Job to the same place he brought Peter. He said, Lord, he says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself. I hate myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. So you see, that's the place the Lord brings men. When he brings man to a knowledge of the Lord, you won't hear a man boasting about what he knows, but you'll see him glad that he's able to worship him who's worthy to be worshiped. And so I hope we don't exercise ourselves in things too high for us, because the knowledge of the Holy One is too high for us, except that he's pleased to reveal himself in Jesus Christ. Only knowledge you can ever have of God is in Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Simple as that. I mean, Christ is the Savior. He's the revelation of God in the earth. God can't be seen by mortal men. No man has seen God at any time. But the Son, who's in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And Peter said, we've seen him. He walked with us. We have seen him. And dear brethren, that's the message that we declare unto men today. I've not seen him with these eyes. But I, by the grace of God, have seen him in those things that have been testified to us by those men who did see him and whom the Lord has been pleased to preserve for us all these years. You know, isn't it an amazing thing that man in all of his wisdom cannot, and he's tried, he can't do a thing with this book. That's just a book. Now you could take a match and set it on fire and burn it right up right now. But you know what? You wouldn't ever destroy the Word of God, because it's going to be there. And somebody's going to have it. I remember reading about those prisoners of war during the Vietnam War. And I believe it was John McCain or one of them had said that they set about to memorize, or they had, the Lord had kind of brought to mind each one of them parts of Scripture that they had learned as a child. And so that these things, as they were there in those cells, they would come together and the one would tell what he knew and another one tell what he knew. You see, the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now, I can't tell you what the difference between soul and spirit is. I've heard people try to do that, and I always scratch my head and say, well, you know, that's something's too high for me. I can't get it. But the Word of God does pierce. And he gives a man the understanding he'd have him to have. Surely I behaved and quieted myself as a child that's weaned of his mother. My soul's even as a weaned child. We are never as a weaned child. I mean, because we're always as weak as an unweaned child. Jesus Christ stood upon his own, and he went to Calvary's cross, and he hung there. Judged by the law of sinner. And no man did help him. The scripture says, none eye did pity him. That's beyond comprehension, is it not? Nobody stood with him. Nobody could. Because he entered into a place that no man could come back from. Oh, what a glorious Savior he is. He is even as a weaned child. He's a strong and mighty warrior, a redeemer, a king, that one who reigns and rules but yet has hands that drip with mercy. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Brethren, we have no other place to go but unto the Lord. You know, you can't, there's nothing that I can do for you. There's nothing that anybody else can do for you, except we can pray for you. But the Lord, he helps those that call upon his name. Because he's the one that causes them to call upon his name. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. What a glorious Savior. See, he hadn't left anything to chance. The Grace Gazette this week, I titled it Bought, Sought, and Brought. And that's the thing, dear brethren. He bought us with his own blood. He sought us when we were not seeking him. And he brought us by a way that we knew not. See, you didn't plan your life out to be like it is, did you? I mean, you know, did you decide one day, you, when you was growing up, and you said, well, you know, I think one day I'm going to grow up and I'm going to follow the Lord. No, you might have thought that you were following the Lord. You know, as a child, I never really gave much thought to it because I was just always raised in church, and so I didn't give it that much thought about whether or not I was or not. But one day the Lord got my attention. And he showed me that, no, I was a rebel against him. I didn't love his way. I didn't love his word. You know, I like the trappings of religion. But it was not a thing that was precious to my soul. I can't understand it. Now, one day I didn't have any concern. I've shared this with you before. You know, there used to be a thing where they would, every week in Sunday school, they'd have a little thing that you'd fill out where you got your daily Bible reading. And, of course, wanting to be a good little religious fella, I would sometimes, just for getting in bed, I'd think, oh, man, I got to get my daily Bible reading. And so I'd throw the Bible open and read a verse, and I'd think, well, I did it. And I'm not casting aspersion on that. I'm not saying there's anything that I'm saying. I'm thankful that that was the way it was. But that in itself, I didn't have no more concern for what the word. Couldn't have told you after I read it what I read. I couldn't care. See, I was just going through the religious motion of it. But I don't know what happened. One day, this word became precious. My soul. And I hungered for it. And it fed me. And I sought it out. And I don't say that. It wasn't anything I did, brethren. I could have been seeking out anything. I mean, you know, but the Lord in his mercy, he calls me to desire preciousness that's found in Christ. Oh, that he might teach us each, that he might call his people unto himself. He's able to save to the uttermost every soul that comes to him. And he says to sinners, only sinners, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He will. I can't tell you how it'll be. I can't tell you when it'll be. See, I heard that message all my life. But I never knew what it was until one day the Lord showed it to me. He can do that. He won't do it on your timetable, but he'll do it on his. Thank you for bearing with me. May the Lord use this word. May he touch our hearts and give us a desire to exalt Christ, because he's worthy of praise.